If you would take your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10 will be in the Gospels tonight, the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 10. As we've been looking at on Sunday evenings in the month of April, the topic of emotions and looking through what God has for us and what the Word of God has for us dealing with our emotions. It's a real fact that we have to deal with. It's a real issue that we have to face at times, and I hope that you're doing well in that area. Luke chapter number 10. Now, we'll read a couple verses here, and then we'll move ahead and look at some other areas as well tonight. But notice, if you will, jump all the way down at verse 38, please. Luke 10, verse 38, excuse me. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Well, Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" You folks have read this, I'm sure, before. And I love the title of, you know, we ought to have a Mary spirit in a Martha world. You know, the world around us is so busy. They're so cumbered about with things and getting stuff done. And boy, we ought to be that way. We ought to, you know, strive to get things done and work hard and all of those things. But notice, we ought to have a Mary kind of a heart or spirit, if you will, as we sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, as we continue looking this evening at emotions and seeing what God has for us in this area, we find very clearly that the Bible lays out for us all that we need to understand and control our emotions, if you will. Now, first and foremost, we talked about already that we need to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's the only real remedy or answer that we have in our emotional state, right? Prior to being saved, we were controlled by our own flesh. We went off of our own feelings, off of our own intuition, whatever you want to call it. But after we got saved, the Holy Spirit came in and what? He took residence. And he started to clean out. And you know, as you follow the Lord and read the Word of God, you start to find out that there's some things I need to clean out. I need to get straightened out. And one of those areas is that aspect of our emotional state. And sometimes it's easy, if you're like me, it's easy to clean up some of the physical stuff. You know, I can do this, I can throw this out, I can do this. But it's that internal stuff that's the hard part, isn't it? I don't know if you're like me, man, that's the hardest part. It's the stuff inside that we have to get control over, and ultimately we don't, we give it to the Lord. And He gives that to us. Now, this great example given to us here tonight, a little scene in the life of Jesus. As, again, He's traveling and He's working and He's ministering, He's constantly being attacked by people. You know that. He's constantly being criticized. People are constantly coming at Him and pushing Him and telling Him, hey, do this or do that if you're truly the Son of God. Other people are coming to Him and they want something from Him constantly, as we said this morning. Jesus, would you give me, pulling on His, would you, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, give me this, help me with this. You ever have a friend like that or somebody in your life? They always want something, but they never want to give you, never want to give you the time of day. I have an individual in my life, boy. When I see him, the person call, you know, you take a minute and say, should I let it go to voicemail? Because you know it's going to be a 35-minute conversation. A sweet, wonderful person, but you're just going, oh no. Okay, what you think about that? And they're constantly coming at Jesus. Now, He has certain people in His inner circle like Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus, who are very special to Him. They're sweet people. They're not looking to Jesus and trying to get anything out of Him per se. They love Him as a brother, as a friend, as a family member. And yet we find here an interesting story that Martha, although she has the ambition and the drive and the focus, if you will, she's wanting to serve Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. We got to serve Jesus. But notice, she kind of lost her priority, didn't she? And she calls out and says, Lord, do you not care? Verse 40, doth thou not care? Do you ever tell the Lord that? You say, well, I never tell the Lord. Yeah, we do it in our hearts, don't we? Lord, do you not care what's going? Do you not care what I'm going through? And anytime you feel that way, you must, as hard as it is, and I know some of you folks have been through things that I could never imagine, but as hard as it is, anytime you feel that way, always know this, God is always in control and He has your best interests in mind. Every single circumstance in your life, He has your best interests in mind. Even in circumstances where He has to chasten us or correct us because we refuse to repent and get right with Him in a situation, He's still doing that. Why? Out of love, isn't He? Because He wants the best for our lives. Now again, thinking about this. And she says, do you not care? And I love the answer of the Lord. And Lord is so gracious. Isn't the Lord gracious to us, by the way? Isn't He so kind and patient with me? I know I can say that. Oh, Lord, do you not care? What does He say? Oh, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. You're careful, meaning you're worried. We're not to be, remember what Paul said? Don't be careful, careful about nothing. Don't be worried. Give it to the Lord. And troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part. Now notice He doesn't say, Martha, you're doing something wrong. He just says, Mary has chosen that good part. Now let me say this, hasten here in the first point. Our emotions can cause us to misunderstand what God is doing in our lives, can it? It can cause us to get off track with the point and purpose of the Lord in our lives. We saw again last week that we ought to submit our emotions, obviously, to the Word of God. We come and say, Lord, I have this feeling. It's natural. Okay, that's fine. God gave us these emotions. It's here. I know that. But Lord, is it submitted to Your Word? Am I giving that to You? Is it something that I can align with Scripture? Is it righteous indignation, you could use? Is there an anger about us for the right things? We should be angry, as I mentioned before. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. We can be angry about certain things. Sin, we ought to be angry about. Abortion, we ought to be angry about. Taking the lives of innocent people. All the things that are going on today, the agenda of the world. So disappointed in our, we were talking, I think, Brother Ryan and Suzette, I was talking with about some things going on about the media and other things. You're just so disappointed in it. And how that they've turned and just really bowed the knee to the world, you know, instead of standing up for what's right. But we ought to be angry about certain things. By the way, I get real suspicious about Christians who don't get angry about a lot of stuff. You know, they let things fly. They see something directly contrary to Scripture and they go, oh, that's okay. That's don't stir the nest. You know, don't rock the boat. No, friends. If you read your New Testament, we're called to point out and call out the works of darkness. Have you read your Bible and read that? Yeah. Have no part of darkness, but we're to call it out and call it what it is. Not in a vulgar or contrary way to Scripture, obviously, not in a way that would do something like that, would cause harm to the Word of God or to the testimony. But you understand, we're to call out that which is wrong. Now, thinking about this, He says, Martha, you're cumbered about. You're troubled about the wrong thing. You're careful and worried about the wrong thing. You ever get worried about the wrong thing? Worried about something ridiculous. We get worried about money. We have to have money. It's a tool, isn't it? But money is neutral. You can use it for good, for the glory of God. You can use it for evil. It's me, isn't it? We're going to look at that on Wednesday night. No, not this Wednesday. No, not the next Wednesday either. We're going to be at Man. Okay, well, we're in a few, about 3 weeks, okay? 1 Timothy 6 we're going to get into. And you don't want to miss that because that's really good. He talks about money. And he says what? The love of money is a root, not money is a root of all. What is it? The love of money. It's me and where I put it in my priorities. And you think about that. We got to be careful about that. But we're worried and cumbered about the wrong things so often in our lives. We're wrong. Now, again, I say this and I sound like a broken record, but one tool in your life that aligns you back to where you need to be is the Bible. Have you ever had your car out of alignment before? I've had it several times. And boy, it just is so annoying, you know, because you got to always fight it, you know, or whatever the case is. And if you're like me, I like to just take my hands off and scare the kids, you know, and I'm just, Daddy, don't do that. Car goes off to the, and you hit the side thing. Have you been on the one on 66 where it makes the song? And have you been on that? You got to try it. It's right between, I don't know where it is. Oh, you come under the highway there and come around. But anyways, it's pretty cool. Remember that? We hit it And we didn't know what it was. At first, we hear this, we're going, whose phone is going off? Brother Adam, have you done that? You been? Okay, he's been on it. Y'all been on it. It's pretty funny. Anyways, where was I? Okay, coming back to align ourselves. Let me get back aligned here to the sermon. We align ourselves with His, right? And again, we come back understanding the authority of the Word. Okay? We're worried about some things that are legitimate. We're worried about some things that are real. Now is it coming back, aligning to Scripture? We see here in this portion of Scripture, Jesus corrects her misunderstanding. She had the wrong priorities in her life because she allowed an emotional thing to take place. Something of an emotion that came. It was a time, or it was an emotion, if you want to say, that was correct. She was truly. And sisters, how many have a sister in here? How many have a sister? Okay, almost nobody, a couple of you, all these girls have sisters. Okay. And they know what it's like, don't they? Sisters, boy. Oh, yeah, they're shaking their heads. They're just sisters. They can be that. Aren't you going to help? Do you not care? And it's always a blame game, just like, oh, it's just so fitting. We just read the other night about Genesis, you know. And the Lord says, what happened? What happened? Lord, the woman you gave me, you know. And the woman, well, what happened? Well, the snake, you know. That's what kids do, you know. What happened? Well, she did it. She made me do it. Drawing down the line. And you think about this here. She had a heart to serve Christ. By the way, don't give up your heart to serve Christ. But again, keep that which is, notice what he says, needful. Needful. She has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. That good part. That good part. Now let's take our Bibles. Go with me real quick over to John. John chapter number 12. Because I want you to see this. John chapter 12, it talks about this family once again. John chapter number 12, verse 1 and says, then 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. And then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Wonderful story here. Another account of what, thinking about what took place and how Mary truly worshiped the Lord and anointed him and took the very, her own hair and wiped his feet and took care of him and all those things that took place. Oh, it's a wonderful story. I'm just pointing out that we can take and focus in on what's important and prioritize God and find out, God, what do you want for me? How do you want me to perform? You think Mary was not burdened? You think she didn't have issues? You think she didn't have some emotional problems? Yeah, she did. But she prioritized the Lord. She prioritized the Lord. Okay, now let's go back. I want you to follow me here. If you can find the book of Jonah, we're going to go all the way back to Jonah. Can you go back there? The book of Jonah. And I want you to see what can happen if we're not careful and we let our emotions get out of whack. Again, we misunderstand what God is doing and trying to do in our lives. The book of Jonah, if you're there. And we'll pick up for sake of reading tonight. We'll go to chapter 4 with me. Yeah, Jonah 4, and we'll read some of this. Notice, if you're there, what he says. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. Now again, what did? That they repented and turned to God. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Didn't I tell you this, Lord? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. There's Jonah. Boy, he's a troubled man, isn't he? God calls him and says, I want you to go down and I want you to preach to these people. No, I'm not doing that. Now why? He had some prejudice about him, but he knew what these people had done to his own people, and he was angry. He didn't want to go over there. And he gave, finally, through all the circumstances, you understand, of what's taking place, swallowed by the, thrown over the overboard, and then swallowed by the great fish, and all of those things. And he finally goes, and now he's telling God, I told you this would happen, and I can't believe God didn't say, well, duh, you ding-dong. That's exactly why I sent you. But God, again, is so gracious, isn't he? Very kind and sweet to us. And he says, this is what I told you would happen. I told you this. I didn't want to do this. Lord, now just take my life. Just go ahead and kill me now. Kill me now. This guy's messed up. He is emotional. He's got some issues going on. But again, notice here that he allowed that to get in the way and he missed what God was doing in his life. Can you imagine if he just praise God what happened? I mean, wonderful. Praise God that thousands upon thousands of people repented and turned to him. Thank God. You know, you and I, if we're not careful, we get out of whack with our emotions. We miss what God's doing. We miss how he's trying to align us. We miss how he's trying to put us on track and position us into a place where he can then use us in a greater way. Oh, I know that's so true for me. He says now, Lord, I told you that. I told you this would take place. I told you that. By the way, notice the unsubmitted heart to the Lord. Unsubmitted. One of the hardest things for us, we know, as we go through something challenging is to submit our hearts to the Lord, isn't it? Submitting our hearts to the Word and to His will, ultimately, because we don't want to do that. We want to do it our way. I know I do. I want to do it my way. I'll go ahead and do it this way. And I want to get that high that comes by being angry or by expressing that emotion. We have to be careful. We submit ourselves to that. And if Jonah would have done that, he would have reaped a tremendous blessing. We see all that takes place, and we don't know a lot about the rest of Jonah's life per se, except for what's given here. Except you can understand and only imagine that this man probably didn't do much more for the Lord after this. He's probably very miserable. I know a lot of Christians today that are just like that. They're saved, but they're miserable. They're saved, but they are just walk around with the, you know, that bottom lip sticking out. Just so tired all the time. So, listen, we know you're tired. We're all tired. We know you don't feel good. We know that. You don't have to keep telling us. But what I'm saying, why don't you get the joy of the Lord? How do I do that, Pastor Tim? How much time are we spending with the Lord? I know it sounds cliche. It sounds like I'd say it every week. Honestly, though, how much time are we spending? And I know you folks do, sweet people, love the Lord. You spend time with the Lord. But you feel something waning inside, it's always a fight. You've allowed something in that's trying to fight against what God's done and God's doing. You take time and spend with Him. You get alone with Him. And I wish more people, I try to share the gospel with people. They don't listen. I just wish they would understand it and think about it. And how our adversary has done such a great job. He's been so successful in getting people sidetracked, hasn't he? And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, what has he done? Blinded the minds of the people through what? I believe entertainment. I believe through all kinds of entertainment, all kinds of things that he gets us to lust after and look after, doesn't he? Boy, I'd like to have that, I'd like to have that, I'd like to see this and be over here. I mean, you ever flip through your phone so much you just get a headache? I mean, you can't. You keep looking through, looking. It's just a constant thing. He gets us blinded and off track. And I'm saying today, if you want to gain that control over your own heart and emotional state, you have got to submit yourself to Him. And oh, what Jonah missed in his life, what he missed. By the way, if you read your Bibles, Jonah is probably the top, I would say top three prophet in the Bible, meaning successful prophet by way of reaching people. He's probably the top three man that reached the most people, let me put it that way, in the Bible. It's amazing to see the people that the amount of people he reached. Elijah reached a lot of people, not as many of these. You think about it. Solomon reached a lot of people through his testimony. I don't think you think about so many. John the Baptist reached a lot of people, not as many as Jonah. And if Jonah would have just realized what God was trying to do in his life, man, what a joy. I think about how many things God was trying to do, and at the time I didn't see it as a happy time or a good time, and I left off and I didn't listen and I didn't submit my heart to it and didn't accept His will, but I did my own thing. And I think back now and I think, man, what I missed, what He was trying to do. How He was trying to position me. Does that make sense? How He was trying to get me in line. And I'm saying today that we must be careful. You know that. Do we have knowledge of the Word of God? Do we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, as mentioned and quoted in Romans 6? I want to know the Word of God and the will of God. And we saw that how Jesus Christ, the prime example for us as believers, by the way, He should be your prime example. You want someone to look up to and emulate? Go right to Jesus Christ. Go right to Him. He's the only one. Our kids, our teenagers are so enamored sometimes with these people, and I myself have to be careful as well, enamored with athletes and other things, and we got to go right back to Jesus Christ. Man, woman, boy, child, everyone. What did Jesus do? What did He do? How did He do it? And again, looking at, Paul mentions, I won't read it again, we did last week, a partial of it, but Philippians 2, and how He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. And He said, in essence, Lord, I'll do Your will. Father, I'll do what You want me to do. You don't think Jesus was hurting? You don't think He was in pain? You don't think He had a headache? He was up all night prior to His arrest. He was in the garden weeping and crying. He was in the garden pleading in prayer. And you know what it's like to pray in earnest with that heaviness, how it drains your body physically. He was up all night doing that and just waiting for the coming and impending death, crucifixion, but the pain that was to come, all of those things. And yet He said what? I'm going to humble myself. I've came to do a work, and ultimately He finished the work He came to do. My friends, tonight, are you in that place? Are you where you should be in your emotional state? Am I where I should be? Now again, I know that I primarily, tonight I'm preaching to the choir. You dear folks know the Lord. You know the Word of God. You're very faithful. You have a great testimony. I know that in our community. And you serve Him faithfully. But we must be careful and keep in check our emotional state, don't we? And know, God, where do You want for me? I don't want to get out of control with that. I want to come back to this. I want to be where I should be as a husband, as a father. And you as a mother, as a sister, whatever role you play. Lord, help me. Help me. We see that throughout Scriptures, and I have many more. I won't go to all of them. But we find, especially as Jesus comes on the scene, and I'll close with this, as He comes on the scene in that great first sermon, we call it Sermon on the Mount, and He talks about, and He preaches about things that were so radical to the people, didn't He? Just so amazingly radical, that they stopped and they said, boy, we are astonished. Why? Because He preaches as one having authority and not as the scribes do. As they say, well, you do this because the prophets say to do this. Jesus says what? You do this because I tell you to do this. And many things that He hits on have to do with our personal life, doesn't it? Many things He touches on has to do with our emotional state. And talking about the enemies that come and will try and threaten us, even they may persecute us, and what are we to do? We have the right testimony and response. Oh, we could go through many verses. He says in Matthew 5 and 46, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do ye not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He's saying be complete by way of that, of having a difference, being a difference maker. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're to be a difference maker in the lives, the people, in the circumstances, in the job, in the workplace, in the family, all around us. We be a difference maker. Oh, grandma's here. Things change. You know, grandpa's here. Things are going to change now. Why? The spirit changes in the room. The attitude changes. Oh, sister's here, grandma's here, brother's here, someone's, why? It's changing. You have this spirit about you. The Holy Spirit's guiding you, directing you, and you're submitted to the will and Word of God. I hope you are. All right? Well, I'll close it up there, but I want to encourage you with that. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. That's what we ought to pray every day. Not my will, but Thine be done. It's very easy to say and hard to do. I know that. But if we'll submit our hearts to Him, Lord, help us struggling in certain areas. I don't know where you are tonight. your marriage may not be doing well, your relationship with children may not be going very well, something may be going, I don't know where you are, but I want to encourage you with this tonight, my friends and brethren, to take time and say, God, help me to be what I need to be. There's something wrong. There's something wrong here. And I'm now a genius, but the common denominator always falls back on me, right? We all take inventory and say, God, I'll take it. And I'll take the high road and the responsibility. What is it, Lord? I submit myself to you. You take my mind, my soul, my emotions, my spirit, my attitude, Lord, take it and make it thine. Make it yours so I can bring glory to you and to your kingdom. Amen? All right. Lord, thank you for an opportunity this evening, these dear folks that come back on Sunday evening. I sure appreciate them, Lord. They're taking time when they could be relaxing at home and resting. They came this morning. They went home and they sat down and relaxed. And then they got back up and came all the way back out to church, Lord. They made church a priority. Because of that, Lord, you've promised to bless them. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this week. I pray that you'd guide us. I know this is, for me, easy to say, hard to do, hard to implement. But Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will help us to do what we should do. I pray that we would be difference makers in our society, but more closer to home, in our own homes, in our own relationships. Strengthen us to lead the people around us spiritually. Guide us emotionally, Lord. Take control of our emotions and help us. May we submit those to you. May we be submitted to thy word and to thy will in all things. And Lord, that you would have glory in everything that we say and everything we do, Lord. For the rest of our days, we'd live in thy will and not to our own pleasure. We love you, Lord, and thank you. Be with us this week. Guide us. Bring us back Tuesday evening if you would see fit in your will. We cannot wait to see that and observe your table. And then, Lord, into Saturday as we go out and then into Sunday for Resurrection Sunday. How we love and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.